Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, November 26th. Coming up this hour,
global stocks gain as investors show renewed appetite for risk.
Stocks and bonds in Italy surge amid signs of a budget compromise.
After clinching a deal with the EU, Theresa May takes her Brexit plan to Parliament.
There are several arrests after migrants tried to rush the U.S.-Mexico border at Tijuana. Plus, tensions flare after Russia fired on Ukraine's Navy near Crimea. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow on sports. A tough loss for the Giants. Blew a lead. Fell in Philadelphia. Jets beaten by New England. The Knicks won. The Nets and Devils lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
And U.S. futures following global stocks higher this morning as investors show renewed appetite for risk. It is now 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. The S&P futures up 33 points. That's up 1.25%. The Dow futures up 278 points. That's up 1.2%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 114 points higher this morning. That is up 1.75%. Yield on the benchmark 10-year note 3.06% this morning as the price is down by 5/32. Crude oil on the rise. NYMEX crude up 86 cents a barrel at $51.29. Brent's up $1.26 at $60.06. The German DAX up 1.25%. The FTSE in London up 1.2%. And the CAC in Paris is up 1.4%. Nathan.
John, stocks and bonds in Italy are rallying after signs of a budget compromise with the EU. Italian officials are now studying scenarios to lower their budget deficit target, and ING chief economist Carsten Breschi says that could lead to an easy solution to the standoff.
And the solution would look like there will be a bit more money for spending, there will be a bit more money allowed for more investment in Italy. And I think no one in Brussels would deny the Italians any recipe to restore growth. If Italy can combine structural reforms with a bit more fiscal spending, everyone could live with it for some years.
And this latest development has Italy's benchmark stock index up 3%, and the euro is stronger as well, now trading at $1.1376.
And turning to Brexit now, EU leaders have officially approved Theresa May's divorce plan. Now the UK Prime Minister needs the votes for it to pass in Parliament.
Before Christmas, MPs will vote on this deal. It will be one of the most significant votes that Parliament has held for many years.
The European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker warns the Brexit deal will not be renegotiated if UK lawmakers reject it.
This is the best deal possible for Britain. This is the best deal possible for Europe. This is the only deal possible.
Theresa May's team is reportedly targeting as soon as December 10th for the first vote on her Brexit deal.
And most predictions call for the plan to be rejected in that initial vote. Vince Cable is the leader of Britain's Liberal Democrats. He opposes the deal.
Certainly at the first attempt, the chances of getting through are virtually zero. They will probably then come back with another attempt. But I still think it's likely that we will get a different approach adopted by Parliament. The one that I and many other MPs are pursuing is the idea that we simply go back to the country and say, do you want this deal or would you rather stay with the deal we've already got?
Berenberg senior economist Callum Pickering thinks a deal of some kind will eventually pass Parliament, though it may take till January.
There are lots of checks and balances along the way that will allow the pro-EU majority in Parliament to accept some form of deal which avoids the hard Brexit.
UBS says market volatility around Brexit is likely to continue into next year.
ECB President Mario Draghi testifies to European lawmakers today ahead of a crucial December 13th policy decision, and Bloomberg's Paul Gordon reports from Frankfurt.
Mario Draghi's testimony to the European Parliament comes at a sensitive time, less than 3 weeks before he's due to say whether the ECB will end its bond-buying programme as planned, and in the midst of a spate of weak economic news and political tension. While lawmakers will likely pursue their own pet topics, investors will be attuned to any signals that the ECB's faith in the eurozone expansion may be waning. In Frankfurt, Paul Gordon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Paul. Stocks around the world are gaining after equities in Asia began the week on a positive note. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Nissan shares in Tokyo were up almost 2% as investors responded after the long weekend to the ousting of Chairman Carlos Ghosn. A weaker yen saw the Nikkei 225 close higher by 0.8%. Real estate developers pushed Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index back above 26,000 points, while stocks on the mainland were flat to lower. The ASX 200 in Sydney was down 0.9% as iron ore futures in Singapore fell to July lows. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. After his removal from Nissan, Carlos Ghosn is also being dismissed as chairman of Mitsubishi Motors. The move follows allegations of financial misconduct by Ghosn, who remains in detention for questioning by prosecutors in Tokyo.
The crash in cryptocurrencies shows no sign of abating. Bitcoin's tumble worsened over the weekend, with the virtual currency falling below $4,000. Checking Bitcoin now, it's trading at $3,903.
And oil climbing after last week's supply, last week's nearly 10% slide. Still concerns of a supply glut remain, with sources telling Bloomberg Saudi Arabia is pumping a record 11.2 million barrels a day. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has more from Dubai.
The market is focused on three key things here, and really that's the emergence of another oil supply glut in 2019. There's also a threat to a demand from a global economic slowdown. And the third thing that the market is really focused on is what OPEC is going to do next to kind of intervene in the market and possibly prop up prices to stop them from collapsing even further.
Yeah, checking crude right now. Brent, the international benchmark, is up $1.05, still under 60, $59.87 a barrel. NYMEX is up 70 cents a barrel at $51.12 a barrel.
And in corporate news, General Motors plans to close one of its plants in Canada. Sources tell Bloomberg GM will announce today it is ending production at a facility in Ontario. The plant employs about 2,200 people. It was once one of the largest such facilities in Canada. Straight ahead, the latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr's here to tell us what's going on around the world. Good Monday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Mexico pledged to shore up security near its border with the U.S. after local authorities said that migrants tried to violently enter the U.S. from Tijuana. 39 migrants were arrested as U.S. agents fired tear gas into Mexico to stop some migrants who tried to breach the border. Tear gas was also fired at members of the migrant caravan. Travel plans for tens of thousands of people have been derailed by a storm in the Midwest. More than 3,000 flights have been delayed, including at the busy Chicago O'Hare Airport. With the help from rain over the weekend, a deadly wildfire in Northern California has been declared fully contained. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the campfire left at least 85 people dead.
Some of the totals are staggering. Nearly 19,000 homes gone. More than 240 square miles burned, including the town of Paradise, in a day. Now, containment is a full line around the fire. There are still hot spots inside that line that need to be fought. There's still the search for remains of those still on a list of those not accounted for. In Southern California, more and more people are being allowed to go back to their property and hopefully still standing homes. In L.A., at the height of the burn, more than 250,000 people fled their homes. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The 2020 presidential election may be 2 years away, but possible candidates are already mulling a run against President Trump. Outgoing Ohio Governor John Kasich, who ran in 2016, said on ABC's This Week that he's very seriously considering another bid.
We need different leadership. There isn't any question about it. And I'm not only just worried about the tone and the name-calling and the division in our country and the partisanship, but I also worry about the policies.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Ukraine's Navy says that Russian Coast Guard vessels fired on its ship in Crimea. The incident is the latest in a dispute about territorial waters that arose out of Russia's seizure of the peninsula in 2014. Bloomberg's Alexander Kudrytsky has more from Minsk.
Russian Navy fired on Ukrainian military ships, captured three of them, and wounded several crew members near the disputed Crimean Peninsula. Ukrainian president called Russian actions an act of aggression and asked the parliament to declare martial law for 60 days. Russia accused Ukraine of violating its territorial waters. NATO and the European Union have urged both sides for restraint. In Minsk, Alexander Kudrytsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up now on 510 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC
Nathan
Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, week 12 losses for the Jets and Giants, both are now 3-8. At MetLife, the Jets hung with the Patriots for much of the day, but as expected, New England prevailed 27-13. Tom Brady with touchdown passes to Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman. Josh McCown again subbed for the injured Sam Darnold. The Jets have lost 5 in a row for the first time under Todd Bowles, and they've lost 13 of 15 versus the Pats. In Philadelphia, it looked as if the Giants were headed for a third straight win, their first win of the year within the division, and they were only going to be 2 games out of first place. They led the Eagles 19-3. Sure enough, Philly roared back to win on a late field goal 25-22. Saquon Barkley had a huge first half, scored 2 touchdowns, but was oddly hardly used in the second half. The coach, Pat Shurmur.
We didn't make the yards we needed, had penalties that set us back. So when you're in third and long situations, second and long situations, the selection of plays and the things you try to do are different. And so we hurt ourselves. That keeps you, knocks you off schedule.
The game last night saw Minnesota beat Green Bay 24-17. The Packers now 0-6 on the road. Break up the Knicks, 3 wins in a row. Game from 13 down to win at Memphis 103-98. Enes Kanter, 21 points, 26 rebounds. The Grizzlies came in 12-6. A year ago, they fired David Fizdale, who now coaches the Knicks. At Barclays, Nets blew a big lead, lost to Philadelphia 127-125. Jimmy Butler hit a game-winning 3 with less than a second to go. Hockey saw the Devils lose to Tampa Bay 5-2. MLS playoffs, Red Bulls fell in Atlanta 3-0. That means unless the Red Bulls win the next game by at least 3 goals, their season is over. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks very much. S&P futures up by 31 points right now. Dow futures ahead by 262 points. NASDAQ futures 111 points higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, Smith & Brown. Audit, tax, and advisory services helping you and your business to be in a position of strength. Experience the Withum way by visiting Withum.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom. It's Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a day when it's a definite risk-on feel to the markets after last week's miserable week for equities. S&P futures right now up 31 points. That's up 1.2%. The Dow futures 259 points higher. That's up 1%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 110 points. That's up 1.7%. Now, if you look to rarely seen part of the market, credit default swap, the indexes for both European high-grade and high-yield debt falling in tandem amid this general risk-on move, the cost of insuring against default retreating from a two-year high. So that's a good sign this morning. The euro higher against the dollar, 113.67. That's up 0.3. The British pound sterling, 128.48. That's up about 0.3 right now. 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.06%. And in Germany, the DAX right now up 1.2%. The FTSE in London up 1%. The CAC in Germany up 1.3%. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump tweeted that he is planning to do 2 rallies in Mississippi today for a controversial senator. Trump on Twitter said that Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith is an outstanding person who is strong on the border, crime, military, our great vets, health care, and the Second A, a reference to the Second Amendment. Hyde-Smith has been under fire recently after being caught on video making a racially charged remark. Mexico's Interior Ministry said it would immediately deport those who tried to violently enter the U.S. from Tijuana. 39 migrants were arrested after some migrants tried to rush the border. In the NFL, the Patriots downed the Jets. The Giants lost along with the 49ers. The Ravens downed the Raiders. In the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this Monday morning by Kevin Divney, Senior Portfolio Manager at Russell Investments. And Kevin, John said it in the business flash moments ago, definitely a risk-on feel to the markets this morning. What do you see behind it?
Good morning. Well, the risk-off environment that we've been living in has been very painful for investors, and clearly the market's been looking to find a floor here. What's been happening, I think, is a struggle between what's happening with good fundamentals with a lot of U.S. companies, earnings going to be decelerating into 2019, half about what they were in 2018. At the same time, I think the global growth deceleration looks much worse here outside U.S. investors, and that's why we've been posturing from this risk-off to risk-on, mostly risk-off since October, though. The other thing that I think is raising up, and we've reached your comment about the yield spread looking a little better this morning, the concern about the high-yield market last week certainly makes people wonder, is there something more systemic out there where it seems to have been more of a micro-driven event? And some of the Fed notes this week and some of the Fed actions recently, I think, are driving the market behind the scenes.
So do you see then that this is just sort of a buy the dip at this point ahead of that deceleration in growth into the next year?
Yes, to some extent. The market's trying to find a floor. There's some upside risk if we get a policy language coming out of the Fed, for example, that they don't need to be as restrictive. There's a big debate now, I think, in what is restrictive and what is neutral for Fed policy. But also the quantitative tightening that's happening is also perhaps taking some liquidity out of the market, which is different than the interest rate effect and could be really affecting the market here in the short term. But again, I think the connection here is more about the global deceleration happening outside the U.S. Or global GDP growth next year is expected around 3.5% from 3.9% this year. And obviously a big chunk of that is going to be the U.S.
Now, I wonder, you mentioned the debate going on between what is restrictive and what is neutral. I wonder if you're going to be expecting to see more clarity in that debate when we hear from Vice Chair Clarida and Chairman Powell this week.
There is that debate going on among market participants, and certainly we'll be looking for language on that. There is a camp forming that maybe we are in neutral today to do anything to decelerate the economy, but it is a legitimate question. If the market has fallen 15% in some period, that does affect what the Fed is going to be thinking. Also, the decline in energy prices, so severe and so swift, certainly figures into their calculus about inflation and pricing pressures within the U.S. economy for the consumer and for feedstock for industrial companies.
Well, where do you sit? I mean, do you think we're neutral at this point?
To increase rates more certainly is going to have a decelerating effect. I think that the goal was more about policy normalization and less about a restrictive posturing. Most people, or I think a lot of people, just got comfortable with zero interest rates, but we couldn't stay there forever because the Fed certainly needs tools and the ability to react to some shock that's out there. So what is normal? And we haven't seen the inflation pressures. Wage growth is something they're concerned about. So what I've been looking at is we're seeing some productivity growth with that wage growth. So it becomes harder and harder to justify further rises in rates if you're seeing that offset, and it will have a effect on the economy.
Now, we'd like to get your take on energy prices at this point as well, because we are starting to see a lift in crude oil now. Has oil seen bottom, do you think?
That's hard to say because the U.S. production has been so astounding. A lot of people that have been following it for decades thought they would never see the U.S. lead production in the United States, and we're seeing that since the first time since 1973. That and because of some geopolitical moves, we see more supply coming out of places like Iran. So it's down the floor. I think there's going to be more volatility. I think settling in below 50 is what a lot of people would be very surprised by. At some point, it's going to have a negative effect for what the drilling and exploration companies, they need oil to be at a certain price to cover their costs. At the same time, the improvements of technology have made finding development a lot more cheaper here in the U.S.
Thanks so much again for joining us this morning to get your insights. That's Kevin Divney. He's a senior portfolio manager at Russell Investments. Taking a look again at the markets this morning, definitely a risk-on feel with S&P futures up 31 points. That's a gain of 1.2%. Dow futures up 1% or 259 points now. And NASDAQ futures are ahead by 110 points. That's a gain of 1.7%. Price of the 10-year down 6/32, the yield at 3.06%. Two-year treasuries are at 2.82%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks are rising around the world to begin the trading week. Oil is also higher after seven straight weekly declines.
U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May begins selling her Brexit agreement to a skeptical parliament today. The deal was finalized with the European Union over the weekend.
Stocks and bonds in Italy are rallying after signs of a budget compromise with the EU. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello reports from Rome.
Lowering that Italian deficit target indicates the populists are ready to come closer into line with European Union rules, but plenty of details remain to be worked out, including whether the Italian spending cuts will be enough for the EU and what will happen to the populists' welfare, pension, and tax plans. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Carlos Ghosn has been dismissed as chairman of Mitsubishi Motors. The move comes less than a week after his removal from Nissan Motor following allegations of financial misconduct. Ghosn remains in detention for questioning by Tokyo prosecutors.
A car plant in Canada that General Motors has operated for 65 years could be on the verge of shutting down. Bloomberg News has learned the company will announce today it is ending production at the plant in Ontario.
German business sentiment soured further in November. Signs of cooling foreign demand and a rising trade tension continue to drag on growth in Germany after a summer of economic contraction.
Bitcoin is extending its tumble to below $4,000 as cryptocurrencies fall across the board. Checking Bitcoin right now, it is down 8%. At $3,916.
And it's another big day for retailers and shoppers as consumers take to the internet for Cyber Monday. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures this morning, they are up 30 points. That's up 1.2%. The Dow futures, 253 points higher. That's up 1%. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now up 107 points. That is up 1.7%. A volatility on the decline. The VIX is down almost 5% in today's trading. The euro, 113.65. That's up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. The Japanese yen, usually a haven currency, that is lower against the greenback, down 0.2%. Right now, 113.21. Definite risk on feeling to the markets this morning. 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.05% as the price declines by 5/32. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. It is now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's find out what else is going on around the world. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The San Cedro port of entry between San Diego and Tijuana reopened yesterday after shutting down after migrants rushed the border trying to cross into the U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers responded with tear gas. At least 39 migrants were arrested. President Trump has blamed the Democrats for the lack of a solution to the immigration issue. However, Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar says her party has tried to negotiate with the president, but he won't take yes for an answer. Klobuchar spoke on ABC's This Week.
We're willing to talk about this, but if he wants to just keep playing politics with it instead of getting it done.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. U.S. House Democrats say they will probe whether President Trump has financial ties with Saudi Arabia that impacts his responses to the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Congressman Adam Schiff, who's expected to chair the House Intelligence Committee, says the answer is they don't know whether finances have contributed, but it would be irresponsible not to find out.
The president is not being honest with the country about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. I think in part he feels that by saying that we don't know or that the world is a dangerous place or everybody does it, he thinks it makes him look strong. It actually makes him look weak.
Schiff on CNN, the Saudi government has said that the CIA is not the most credible source of information on such matters. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Russia fired on Ukrainian warships yesterday, injuring several sailors and sparking a dramatic renewal of tensions between the ex-Soviet neighbors near the peninsula of Crimea that President Vladimir Putin annexed 4 years ago. The Mars InSight is set to attempt a landing on the red planet today. It's a tall order since about half of all Mars landings fail. NASA says many things need to go right in order for the spacecraft to slow down from nearly 13,000 miles per hour to a safe speed for a soft touchdown. NASA Associate Administrator Thomas Zurbuchen.
Hopefully, you know, as we go through these 7 minutes of terror, kind of increasing the likelihood of humanity to actually land on Mars with this amazing vehicle that is out there ready to land that will, again, transform our knowledge.
The spacecraft has been racing through space for about 7 months. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, another heartbreaking loss for the Giants in Philadelphia. Their fifth loss in a row there. Last year, beaten by a 61-yard field goal. This time it was from 43, but it came in a game where the Giants led 19-3. Pat Shermer's team beaten by the Eagles 25-22.
Ultimately, we played a good football team, and we just didn't make enough plays in the end to win the game, and that's the reality of it. So go back to the drawing board.
Jets' fifth straight loss, topped by New England 27-13. The Jets coach, Todd Bowles.
Well, we're going to fight every week. We fought the Buffalo game. We just didn't play smart. We fought this game. We didn't execute in the second half, so we got to go back to the drawing board, and we got to finish the ball game.
So both coaches are 3-8. Neither's yet to win a game within the division, and as heard, both going back to the drawing board. Minnesota last night beat Green Bay. A week after ending the Chargers' six-game win streak, Denver ended Pittsburgh's six-game win streak. Late field goals won games for Seattle and Indianapolis, the Colts' fifth straight win. Buffalo sent Jacksonville to a seventh straight loss. In the Chargers' win, Phillip Rivers went 28-29. Cleveland Browns had lost a near NFL record 25 games in a row on the road. They won in Cincinnati. Rookie Baker Mayfield with four TD passes. Sweet win for Knicks coach David Fizdale in Memphis, where he got fired a year ago. Knicks beat the Grizzlies 103-98. Enes Kanter, 21 points, 26 rebounds. Shortly after the Giants blew that 16-point lead in Philadelphia, the Nets blew a 20-point lead against Philadelphia. The Sixers won 127-125 on a Jimmy Butler three-pointer with less than a second to go. The Devils lost to Tampa Bay 5-2. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on shady loans that are bankrupting America's small businesses. Also in this week's issue, the growth concerns behind the sell-off in tech stocks. Joshua Brustein wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
All the companies have their own different flavors, and they're all kind of different versions of the same thing, which is that these companies have grown so large and have insinuated themselves so far into all our lives that eventually there's not going to be that much more place for them to go.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. A bill to legalize marijuana could be voted on today by the New Jersey Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee. The State Marijuana Legalization Act would legalize possession and use of up to an ounce for people aged 21 and older. It would also create the Division of Marijuana Enforcement and a licensing structure to tax, control, and legalize pot for adults. CoverGirl has opened its first store, competing against the likes of Sephora, Ulta, and Blue Mercury at Times Square. The budget beauty brand shop at 719 7th Avenue includes a booth for customers to make a 10-second video of themselves and mirrors with artificial intelligence to test out different shades of makeup. Well, over the past decade, a number of private aviation companies have increased their presence in Connecticut. Yale News says no state in the Northeast has a tax on aircraft, making the region attractive for aviation companies. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on efforts by Fidelity Investments to turn the page from misconduct allegations by promoting more women.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Goldman Sachs expects commodities will soar in 2019 as oil and gold climb.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, we're talking about a decades-old General Motors car plant in Ontario that could be on the verge of shutting down.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. And we follow Theresa May's pitch as the Prime Minister tries to sell her Brexit deal.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm talking about a deal reportedly close in the battle over Campbell's Soup board control.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Toyota will start selling a restyled Prius hybrid next month.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures up 31 points, Dow futures ahead by 258, NASDAQ futures up 107 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. This is on a morning when there's a definite risk on feel to the markets. The S&P futures right now up 31 points. That's up 1.2%. Dow futures 263 points higher. That is up 1%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures 108 points higher. That is up 1.7%. The euro 113.61. That's up about 0.2% against the dollar. The Japanese yen, usually a haven currency, that's lower against the dollar right now. Down about 0.3%, 113.25. And after the horrendous week for stocks last week, the U.S. stock index futures gaining in concert with the European shares. This comes after Italy was said to consider changes to its budget deficit target. That has prompted the risk on appetite to try and seep back into the market after the sell-off. Futures contracts on the NASDAQ and Dow, again, up over 1%. This morning, European equities, they climbed overseas, led by banking and oil shares as the Italian UK stocks advanced on positive political developments there. In the U.S., the 10-year yield right now, 3.06%. The price is down by 5/32. German DAX is up 1.2%. The FTSE in London up 1%. And the CAC in Paris is higher by 1.1%. NYMEX crude in the U.S. up 65 cents a barrel. Right now, 51.06 a barrel. The international benchmark Brent is up 1.8%. Up $1.06 a barrel at 59.87. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. A massive wildfire in Northern California has been fully contained after burning for more than 2 weeks. The campfire in and around Paradise killed at least 85 people and has left almost 250 people missing. A federal judge ruled George Papadopoulos, the one-time Trump campaign aide, whose guilty plea last year was the first obtained by special counsel Robert Mueller, must begin serving a 2-week jail sentence starting today. Papadopoulos admitted lying to federal agents last year about the timing of his contact with a UK-based professor who claimed to have dirt on Trump's 2016 election opponent, Hillary Clinton. In the NFL, the Patriots downed the Jets. The Giants lost along with the 49ers. The Ravens downed the Raiders. In the NBA, the Knicks won. The Nets lost. In the NHL, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up on 5:50 on Wall Street. Let's get more perspective now on the rally we're seeing in Italian bonds as signs of a budget compromise with the European Union emerge. Joining us from our Berlin bureau is Richard Jones. He's an FX and rate strategist and Markets Live blogger. For Bloomberg News. Richard, thanks so much for joining us. And John mentioned there's a talk of a budget compromise, changes to the deficit target. What is the populist government saying this morning?
Oh, good morning, Nathan. It's great to be on with you. I have to say, it seems like both sides, so the European Commission and the Italian government, are starting to move a little bit closer. I think that we're starting to see a softening of the rhetoric on both sides, so that the EU is putting forth ideas that might allow Italy to avoid potential sanctions. And it seems that the one of the deputy leaders of the Italian government, Mr. Salvini, who is really the driving force here, is taking a slightly more conciliatory tone than he had before. So as a result, we've seen a big rally in the Italian bond markets, some interesting levels technically being reached in spreads of Italian bonds over German bonds, and outright Italian yields falling. So I think it's one of these things where it didn't take much for the upside momentum to widen these spreads, to drive these Italian yields higher. Is now starting to unwind. If we do get both sides moving closer, this could gain a little bit more momentum, and we could be seeing some even more significant moves in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, so you're saying then that there needs to be more than just a softening of the rhetoric for this to take more of a long-term hold.
Yeah, I think a softening of the rhetoric is a good first step. I think you've had both sides being quite far apart until very recently. I think now that you get a softening of the rhetoric, there needs to be some follow-through. But it does seem that that's a good first step, and that once that domino falls, maybe the other dominoes will fall, and then we'll actually start to get closer to Italy and the EU having a view on a potential budget that actually can move us forward here.
All right, so what's the next domino that investors should be watching for to fall then?
Well, I think if Italy can avoid the potential sanctions that the EU has been touting up to now, and so you get the actual percentage of their budget deficit down to a number that the EU is more comfortable with, then I think that you're actually taking, you know, like I say, the rhetoric that we've had and actually seeing some meat on the bone and actually seeing some numbers put behind this thing. It seems that they're heading in that direction. And if you would have asked me this question 2 weeks ago, it looked like the differences were intractable. But they're now getting a little bit closer, and they're starting to talk about numbers now that makes a little bit more sense than just the sort of the broad outlines that we had in recent weeks.
All right. And in our last 30 seconds here, what else are you going to be looking for in terms of Italy, you know, sort of taking a better hold of their debt?
Well, I think it's all about. So I think what we're eventually heading to is probably new elections sooner rather than later. And I think the current coalition is not a match made in heaven. I think if we do get those new elections on the back of a better budget that we with the existing coalition, then I think we could make some real headway on these BTP yields to head lower.
Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist, Markets Live blogger for Bloomberg News. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak, John.
All right, Nathan, thanks. Now it's time for our Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today we look at a process allowing debt collectors to strip small business owners of their savings through the use of an arcane legal document called a confession of judgment. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso and Peter Barron speak with Robert Friedman, an editor for Bloomberg Businessweek.
Bob, this is about something called a confession of judgment. Fill us in.
Yes. So we discovered this rise of the use of these this obscure legal document called a confession of judgment, which actually goes back to medieval times in British common law. There's a confession of judgment in a Charles Dickens novel, The Pickwick Papers. So there's a long history of this thing. And basically what it is an agreement that you make whereby you agree to lose if there's any dispute. And the rise of this recent modern use of this is in the merchant cash advance business, which is lending to small companies at very, very high interest rates. And they're preyed on by these people who cold call pizza parlors and beauty parlors and small businesses around the country saying, do you need a loan? And they say, yes, here's an opportunity to get some quick cash, but you can't get the money unless you sign the confession.
Are they aware that they're signing the confession, or does it come as a shock to them when they make a move to close their bank accounts and freeze their assets?
So they're aware they're signing this agreement. They don't expect to have any problems repaying the loan. They don't really think about it. Most of them don't even consult a lawyer about it. It's only when the lender thinks that the business is in trouble or is skipped the payment or for whatever reason, sometimes for no reason at all, they'll file the confession of judgment in a court. And because New York state courts accept them, they file them from all over the country in upstate New York counties. And the clerks, they don't go before a judge. They just get stamped without any discussion of whether the party has actually defaulted, any proof required. It just gets stamped. The banks go along with this because it's a legal court order. The marshal goes along with it because it's a legal court order. And the lender gets huge fees attached beyond what your usurious interest rates that they're charging or collecting. So it really is a way of exploiting and taking advantage of these small businesses.
That's Bloomberg Businessweek editor Robert Friedman speaking with June Grosso and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF Report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
The holiday shopping season is in full force, and ETF investors can look to some retail ETFs for success. Here to tell us more, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. So tell us about these retail ETFs.
Right. So there's sort of traditional ones, broad ones, and then there's the new online retail ones. So the traditional ones, the big ones, XRT and RTH, they're going to hold a lot of your popular retailers. XRT is equal weighted, so Amazon only gets a 1% weighting. RTH is market cap weighted. Amazon's like a 17% weighting. But keep in mind, we are seeing a sell-off in growth and value's doing better. So you actually may have XRT, which is traditionally done worse because it has little Amazon in it, has a lot of mall stocks, could do better this season.
Okay, but what has traditionally been the performance of these ETFs that bet on retail?
Pound for pound, it's been bad. They've trailed the market. A couple of years, they do better, but largely because a lot of this is priced in by the time you get to Thanksgiving. So that's another factor to consider.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. Risk on feel this morning ahead of the open on Wall Street with S&P futures ahead 31 points or 1.2%. Dow futures up 270, a gain of 1.1%. NASDAQ futures up 110 points, 1.7% higher.